We're in the book of Acts, if you'd like to follow along the reading of the word. Acts chapter 10. Give your attention now, as this is a reading of God's holy word, inspired, inerrant, infallible. It's our only rule of faith and practice. Hebrews chapter 10. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor a bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is who is worthy, and stay there until you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, then let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you and hear your words, when you depart from that house or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Just so far in the reading of the word. May that word again be in us a living stream of living water. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Our Father and our God, we have worshipped you in song and giving and prayer, and we would now worship by hearing. Lord, this is the principal means that you have ordained for the calling of the lost and the building up of the found. And so we ask now that your Spirit will give power to the one who speaks, power to those who hear, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth to the praise and glory of God. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, the first preaching of the apostles was a very different kind than what we find them doing in Acts. The cross hasn't happened yet. He's still with them. They're still in Jerusalem. In fact, their early ministry was less about the gospel and more about power. After the resurrection, their preaching would be actually less miracles and much more gospel. The Lord sends them out with sufficient resources to do what he calls them to do. He gives them power for the duty. This group of preachers includes a wicked man, a doubter, a former tax collector, 12 that Jesus sent out. We know much about some of them and very little about a few of them. John, Peter, Matthew wrote New Testament books. Judas is the most infamous scoundrel probably in the history of the world. And yet, he's among the 12, chosen by Christ, sent out to heal, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. This list of names. Now, this might not be the most compelling reading that you would ever do. If you were on your way to the Cape for a summer vacation, the book you took with you to read is not a list of names. This is not the text, the opening of Matthew 10, that if I was asked to preach, I would turn to it. But there it is, a list of names. Now, some registers of names are more impressive than others. The list of presidents of the United States of America. If your name is on that list, that's pretty impressive. The list of people in line for a good job. You might be very grateful to be on that list. The list of criminals the police are looking for. You don't want to be on that list. A lot depends on whose list you are looking at and whose names are on that list. What is the most important list? It's actually a book with nothing but names in it. Remember Revelation 21, 27, the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you on that list? Only those written on the Lamb's list will be with him in glory. What do these men have to do with that? Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. What can we learn from these opening verses of chapter 10? Well, the name and the number, the assignment that is given, the groups that were formed, if you will, and the larger list are all something that we ought to think about. Verses 1 and 2. When he had called his 12 disciples, the names of the 12 disciples, these are the men chosen, set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't apply for the job. They didn't pursue Jesus. Rather, he came looking for them. And Jesus said to them, various places and different times, "Follow me." And they did. These were the men the Lord used to spread the kingdom of God after his death. They formed that nucleus. Their story changed the world. They were persecuted, hated. Most of them, it seems, died at the hands of religious leaders. They were men who followed Jesus for 3 years. They were devoted. They saw miracles. They saw the dead raised to life. And yet, when Jesus was arrested, they all fled. They were in hiding on resurrection morning. But after the resurrection, after Christ rose from the dead, 40 days after seeing him alive over and over again, after the ascension, what happened? They went out. "Follow me." Now, not everyone that Jesus said that to actually did it, right? Remember in Matthew 19, the young man comes running to Jesus. What must I do? And the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful. He would not listen. But his sheep, John 10, the shepherds, the great shepherd of the sheep's passage, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Have you heard that shepherd's voice? The name of the 12 apostolos, it's almost a transliteration of the Greek apostle. It means a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. These were the 12 official ambassadors. They're about to go out with authority. They represent Jesus Christ. They bear his name as a credential. They come with the recommendation from Christ as one of his apostles. Who were they? Well, they were working men, four of them, fishermen. They were government men. Matthew was overcoming his reputation as a tax collector, Jew. They were Jewish men. By the way, did I say men? Yeah. 12 of them. You think they're not listening. 12 men, not women. 12 men. Not the most educated. Not the wealthiest. Some of them were very headstrong. They do not look, when you look at them as a group, like world changers. If the call and the work had not been from God, it would never have gotten done. Not by these 12. His 12, when he called his 12, exactly 12, no more, no less. We might ask the question, why 12? Do you think this is an accidental coincidence? Genesis 49, 28. How many tribes were there? Thank you. Somebody pay attention. 12. How many sons of Jacob? 12. How many bronze bulls under the sea? 12. The Lord doesn't do anything by just accident. For some reason, that number repeats over and over again in some of the most prominent places. Now, let me ask you another question. How many thrones are there in Revelation 24? I mean, I just gave you the number. Revelation 11. There are 24. Representing the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are 12 foundation stones to the New Jerusalem and 12 gates. This is no coincidence. These 12 apostles, these men, are the core group of the new Israel of Christ. And they will sit, these 12, on 12 of those 24 thrones and worship God. It is a complete list. Only a few of them, however, stand out in history. Half of them we never hear about again. They're listed here, and we got nothing. One name on the list, but that man is not here. He's not really here. Judas the Apostle. He's among them. He's called an apostle. He's sent out by Christ. In other words, Judas honors the Lord with his mouth, but his heart was always far from Christ. What does he do? He gives them an assignment. He gave them power. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of diseases. He's sending them on a healing ministry. In other words, the ministry of Jesus is about to go, for lack of a better term, viral. It's going to expand. They are going and doing what Jesus gives them power to do. The one who has all authority gives it to these 12. Go do this. I remind you again, this is before the cross, before the resurrection. They're going to do what Jesus has been doing. Why? Because Jesus is telling them to do it. And he gives them power to do it. Because why? The work is always about Jesus. They're going in his name, by his authority, to make him known. I remind you again, the cross has not happened yet. This is not the Great Commission. In fact, it's pretty limited. Verse 5, do not go to the Gentiles. Do not go to the Samaritans. It's very limited. We have a much bigger job. Jesus is going to make the Jewish world take notice of his work in Israel. The rest of the world comes later. That's the job that we have. Make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. If modern Christians will go in his name and by his power, not as apostles, but as saints, as children of the King, we'll be doing the work that Christ has sent us to do. It is interesting. The names of the 12 apostles are these: Peter and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee; John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James and Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Four times this list is given. And the same groups of names appear. If we don't think that God chose 12, that's not a coincidence. That's not a happenstance, but part of God's plan. What about these groups? The Holy Spirit does not put things like this in the Bible by accident. Peter and Andrew, James and John. They may have been, it does appear, to be the very first four of the disciples of Jesus. Looks like there was a period where, as Jesus began his ministry, these four guys were with him, but the rest not quite yet. These four are, for lack of a better moniker, these men are leaders. Peter and Andrew, James and John. They speak and are spoken to more than the others. We might call them, one commentator said, the company of Boanerges. Remember they called, Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder. The four of them have passion, zeal, action. All of those things mark their service to the Lord. You can almost hear Jesus saying, "Oh, here comes Peter again. Wonder what he wants now." But Peter is his go-to guy. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. Who were these poor men? Well, they were well-known, distinguished men. They were thinkers. Philip would rather see than believe. Thomas, we're going to find out much later, he wants physical contact. Matthew, it does appear that this former tax collector, really a traitor to the Jewish people, leaves that job. Apparently, one of the brightest among the 12 writes this gospel. They all believe, but many of them, these four, have doubts. They want explanations. They want good arguments to make their cause. Some interesting questions from them to the Lord. And the next four, James, the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas, who also betrayed him. These are men about whom little is known except for the last name in the group. But there is something very interesting that they all have in common. They are all Hebrew tradition men. One of them is a zealot. What does that mean? He's a warrior Jew. A very interesting character. Simon, the Canaanite. He would have been training to kill people. And he's called by Jesus to become a fisher of men. One of them is the one who said to Jesus, "Show yourself to the world." And the Lord says, "It's not time yet." And one, let's face it, Judas had some kind of practical gift that the whole group could see. We're told that he held the bag of money. He must have been a good businessman. Somebody who could count. Well, he was conversant with the world of politics, religion, and influence. We're going to see that even in his betrayal. And yet this man was an instrument of the devil, and Jesus knew it. He was a thief and a liar. When you look at the Last Supper and the time frame, when Jesus says, "One of you will betray me," do you realize that Judas had 30 pieces of silver in his pocket? At that time. And yet, listen. Jesus chose Judas to be a minister and sends him out to cast out demons. I've often wondered what Judas thought about that. The tragedy of Judas is about the heart of Judas. It never belonged to Jesus. Judas was around Jesus. Judas was friendly with Jesus, served Jesus. But the heart of Judas was stone cold dead in sin. Sold out to the devil. And yet this guy, Judas, is sent out as one of the 12. What does the Bible say about Judas? Woe to that man. He's a classic tragic figure. In all of history, What a list! What do we do with lists? Here's a list. Norman Brower. Irfan Hughes. Leonard Goldstrom. Robert Harrimuth. Mark Marquis. All pastors of this church. Or how about the list of 18 names? October 3rd, 1976. Charter members of Emmanuel Chapel. There's only two people present who were on that list. Most of you could never guess who those two are, but it's Rich and Janet Ahern. They've been a part of this congregation from the very beginning. We just added two names to our list today, Abraham and Renu Finney. Now, all of those things are good lists. Important. Part of the history of Presbyterianism. Presbytery gets really picky when we do minutes. We put somebody in there like Renu Finney. They want more. They want her maiden name. They want history so they can go back. That's one of the persnickety things about the OPC. Those are all good lists. But I come back to that bigger list. The Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, 27. The names on that list are not apostles only. They're not ministers only. They're not charter members only. Heaven's register belongs to Jesus. Here's the thing that's really important. There are no wicked names on that list. Judas is not on that list. Never was. But that list is a roll of the saints. His sheep. Believers. The question is your name on that list? If so, there is no one and nothing that can keep you from the glory and the presence of Jesus Christ forever. No one and nothing. It's the Lamb's Book. The author and finisher of our faith has that book. And by the way, he never edits it. How do we know that? Because from before the foundation of the world, he never makes mistakes in that book. There isn't anybody in that name. You go, oh, how'd he get in here? Take it. No. He knows every single one of those names. What list are you on? To be on this list, the Lamb's Book of Life, is safe, secure, eternal. No honorable mention in this world compares. No, you're not an apostle. And the list of names that Jesus gives is not asking you to become an apostle. You can find churches today, churches so-called, that list their ministers as apostle so-and-so and apostle so-and-so. It's foolishness. You might never be called to be a minister, an ordained minister of the gospel. You might never be called to be that. You might never be famous. And God forbid that you should be infamous. But Jesus knows every one of his sheep. He knows you. Right where you are, right now, And he has said, my sheep will hear my voice. And they will follow me. The Lord may be calling you to follow him in very different ways than he's calling that person over there and that person over there. But Jesus sent out these 12 with power in his name. He sent his gospel through these men. And he's done that down through history, through preachers, parents, friends, missionaries. The only question is, are you on that list? That bigger list? Not are you an apostle? You're not. But have you repented of your sin? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you are, by faith, on that list. Ask Reno if being interviewed by the elders hurts. Doesn't Reno? You know, no. Her faith was very simple, but very genuine and real. Doesn't take much to actually profess genuine faith in Christ. What we do after that, that's a different story. What is our testimony? Lord's not calling you to go on a healing ministry. Does that with his apostles. But he has called you. We don't think this is the only perfect church. That's not what OP stands for. But we are kind of persnickety. We have lists and records and histories. That's who we are. The big question is, do you belong to Jesus? Are you on that Lamb's Book of Life list? That's the important thing. Doesn't take much to be on that list, but it does take genuine faith to believe in Christ, to trust in Him. That's what puts you on that list. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come and sometimes go over some very normal and historical things, like a list like this, you remember, Father, that it was you, through your Son, who chose these 12 men. You sent them out to do your work. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you that their testimony went to the utter ends of the known world and has continued through all those generations. Somebody in our circle of friends, relatives, told us about Christ. We thank you for that. Whether it's a family that raised us from birth in the things of Christ, or whether somebody who confronted us with the gospel message. Lord, you've brought us into the kingdom. However you're going to send us out, Lord, may we bear the name of Christ faithfully, that he might receive all the praise and glory. Lord, hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.